This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to come to the table now, but I just want to share a little bit from the Word before we do that. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn there. And we're going to come to the table, we're going to meet with Jesus, and then we're going to spend some time worshipping after we've done that. Johnny's going to lead us again. I want to ask some questions this morning, particularly of some of the younger folk, and see if you can help come up with some ideas, because we all eat, don't we? Yes. Some of us occasionally eat a little more than we should. But we all need to eat. And the reason that Jesus left us a meal to remind us about him is he wanted to show us that our relationship with him and with his Father is as natural and as vital to life as eating. And I want to look at three things about eating this morning. First of all, a right to eat. Secondly, that we need to eat. And thirdly, that we have a desire to eat. I found a great scripture last night, which I tweeted yesterday evening. So some of you saw it, and where I went out yesterday evening, a number of people went to a hog roast last night, and a number of people had seen my tweet. But there's a great verse in Deuteronomy 24, and it says, "When you come into the land that God has given you, and God gives you growth and expansion, and you want to eat meat because you crave meat, then you can eat as much meat as you like." Which I thought was a great scripture for a hog roast. But God isn't a skimpy God. God doesn't do things by halves. But first and foremost, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about our rights. And it made me start thinking, and I looked up and read the United Nations Convention on Human Rights. So I wonder, can anyone suggest, maybe we start with some of the kids first, what do you think some of your human rights are? Connie, what's a human right? A right to be clothed. Okay, very good. What other rights, Noah?
To have a comfortable house.
To have somewhere to live, that's right, a right to a home. What else? You think of anything else? Thea, what do you think? To work, that's right, yeah. Levi, did you have an idea? Something to eat, a right to have something to eat.
Parented.
A right to be parented, yeah, well there's a right to be a child. And what do you think some of the things about being a child mean?
That you're allowed to get to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's not in the UN Convention on Human Rights. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. Don't think that's in the UN Convention on Human Rights. Can you imagine, what are some of the things that you shouldn't have to do as a child? Go on then. Slavery. Yeah, well, no, but everyone has a right not to be a slave. What do you think as a child, though?
To empty out the dishwasher.
No. What do you think, Sal? Should we get some sensible suggestions over here? Sorry? I don't know that there's a right to not clean up, but there's generally in this, there's a right not to have to work as a child. Okay? That doesn't mean not loading the dishwasher, not cleaning up. No, going to school is actually a right. You have a right to an education. No? What else, Levi?
To not clean up your room.
No, I don't think so. I'm sure you'd love that to be the case, but I'm sure your mum has already checked and found that it's not one of your basic human rights to not have to clean up your room. So there are rights that we have, and included in that is a right to eat. Now, the Bible tells us that we have a right to, not just to eat in general, but to eat something special, to eat something that is only for those who follow Jesus. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to look at two scriptures. First of all, in Revelation chapter 2, so that's the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. You're just thinking about what it might be, something special to eat. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Sorry, I said 17. Verse 7. Revelation 2 verse 7. This is Jesus. This is Jesus writing letters from heaven to the church. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." The whole of the book of Revelation is written to people who overcome. And what we need to realize is that that is every single one of us who believes in Jesus and puts our faith in Jesus. If you follow Jesus, then the Bible says you are an overcomer. An overcomer means that when difficult things come, you get over them. Okay? That difficult things don't come and press you down, but difficult things come against you and you get over them. And Jesus says, if you're an overcomer, and you're an overcomer only by putting your faith in Jesus, then you have the right to eat from the tree of life. The reason that God had to put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden when they sinned was because he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life while they were in their sinful state. And so while they were sin and while they were still, while there was all those kind of bad stuff going on in their lives, he said, I don't want them to live forever like that. I only want you to live forever once you have been changed to be a new person by Jesus. And once that's happened to you, he says, you can come and eat from the tree of life. Now, I know this doesn't look like a tree, but when Jesus left us this to eat, this looks a little bit more like a tree, because where does this come from?
Grapes.
Grapes. And where do grapes grow?
Vines.
On vines. That's right. And Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And when we come and we take the wine, it's like taking the life of Jesus into ourselves. Yes. It's like eating from the tree of life. In Hebrews 13, verse 10, you don't need to look this one up. It says, we have an altar from which those who minister in the tabernacle have no right to eat. What's he talking about? He's talking about how in the Old Testament, the priests would come and they would bring the sacrifices to the altar and they were allowed to eat some of the food. So it wasn't a bad job being a priest, because you can imagine somebody came in and they brought a cow. Okay, anyone see Top Gear, where they did their road trip across the southern United States?
Yes.
And Jeremy Clarkson managed to kill a cow on his car. Of course, that really happened, didn't it? And he came with it on the top of his cow. But you saw how big that was. So you can imagine people would bring a cow to offer as a sacrifice, and some of it had to be burnt up to be given to God, but some of it the priest would chop up, they would roast it, they would take, and they would eat it themselves. Couldn't be, it wasn't bad, was it? So as a priest, you got paid in cows and sheep and
chickens.
Not chickens, I don't think they offer chickens. But the Bible tells us that we have something better to eat than that. From this table, we have something that actually doesn't just taste good, but imparts the life of God, gives the life of God to us. When Jesus was around on the earth, at one time, in fact, it might have even been more than one time, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part. It's yucky, isn't it? Have your knees gone funny yet, Thea? Okay? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part in me. Now, that makes us go, yuck, doesn't it? And Jesus was deliberately doing that because he liked to sometimes just upset people a little bit and make it difficult to follow him, make it hard, because he wanted to see who really is following me. He didn't just want the people that were coming around because they liked the miracles he did. He wanted to know who's really getting a hold of my message and who really is following me. Because he didn't actually mean that we were ever going to have to eat his flesh or drink his blood. He was talking about this, wasn't he? And he was talking about the fact that when we take the bread and the wine, it's like the life of Jesus really actually comes into us. And we have, as followers of Jesus, we have a right not just to eat natural food, but to eat spiritual food, to eat food that is going to change us and transform us. Now, we also have a need to eat. We have a right to eat, but we have a need to eat. What do we need to eat? Let's see if anyone can tell me. What are the basic elements of a good, balanced diet? I realize I'm living dangerously here. Go on, Poppy. I think I'm going to... Carbohydrate. Well done. That's a good, sensible answer. What else? Theo? Connie? Pardon?
Dairy
products. What do we get from our dairy products?
No.
Calcium. Go on, Noah. Sausage. Yes, all right. Levi?
A bar of chocolate in each hand.
A bar of chocolate in each hand? Wow. Seth, what do you think? pork. Yeah, balance, one in each hand. So you have to eat them equally. But we need food, and we need... Go on, one more. Go on. Fat. We do need... a little bit of fat, especially for skinny people. We need food. Okay? Our need for food is supposed to teach us something about our need for God. That's why we fast sometimes. Because we begin to realize, or one of the reasons we fast, is that it helps us realize how much we need food. We live in a country where, by and large, people start eating their next meal before they really need to. Okay? You looking at me? Because we have plenty. And when we fast, it helps us realize, you know what, I actually need this stuff. And God wants us to realize that we need him. And in Deuteronomy, should we turn to this one? This is a good one. Deuteronomy chapter 8. So, kids, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. The first few books are quite long. So, see if you can find Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. How are you doing? Have you found it? Back a bit. After Leviticus, after your book, Levi. There you go, Deuteronomy. And you want chapter 8 and verse 3. It's a very famous scripture. It's one that Jesus quotes. In fact, Jesus quotes this scripture to the devil. When the devil comes and tempts him. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says in Matthew's gospel, and after this, he was hungry. Understatement, Matthew. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was hungry. I think he was probably hungry after 2 days of fasting. But after 40 days, he was hungry. And then when he was at that point, he would have been very weak as well. I know some people who have done 40-day fasts. And they end up very weak, they end up very thin. Jesus would have been just like that. And it was at that point the devil came and tempted him, but Jesus quoted this scripture to the devil, because the devil came and said, you're so hungry, why don't you turn the stones into bread? Well, he could have done that, couldn't he? But this is what he said. He quoted this scripture in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Moses is talking here. It says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's talking here about God's people when they were wandering in the wilderness, and they got hungry and they cried out for food, and God caused manna, which it said was like wafers, tasted like wafers made with honey, and it was the food that the angels ate in heaven. And God gave them this, but Moses says the reason that God allowed this to happen was to teach you something, that you don't just live on bread, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And one of the things that eating this meal reminds us is that just as much as our bodies need to eat, and we love bread, don't we? Anyone here that doesn't like bread? If we run out of bread in our house, it's a terrible thing. We have to go and hunt out more bread. And It's something basic to life. It's something that's kind of basic to what we eat. But Jesus is taking this scripture when he's first speaking these words, he's telling us that when you eat, it should remind you that we don't just live on food, but we live also on the Word of God. The Word of God is part of our spiritual food. How do we get a hold of the Word of God? How do we eat the Word of God? Who'd like to suggest some ways? Do you know there were several prophets in the Old Testament who God showed them a scroll, which was their version of a book, and he told them to eat it. So do you think, Levi, do you think to eat the Word of God, you need to take some of the pages out of that Bible and put them in your mouth? Oh, you do? Yeah, well, let's just hold that for a minute and see if we can come up with any other ideas. How do we eat the Word of God? Noah? You could do that. I don't think that's what he means, but go on then. Yeah, we're getting a little too literal here, aren't we? So, What do you think, Khan? By listening to it. By listening to people talking about the Word of God. By reading the Word of God. By speaking the Word of God. We sing the Word of God in our songs, don't we? So there's all kinds of ways that the Word of God comes into our lives. And that's what he's talking about. The Word of God coming into our lives is like eating God's Word. So it's something we need. We need every word that comes from the mouth of God. How many of you, let's do a little test. Hold your Bible up this way. And do you look down the ends of the pages here. Are there some bits that are more dirty and more ruffled than others? Okay. So find some that look fairly clean and see if you can find any clean pages in your Bible. Anyone got clean pages in their Bible? Do you know what? God doesn't want you to have any clean pages in your Bible. Okay? Now, you don't have to rip them out. What you have to do is open the clean pages and read them. Because the Bible says that we don't live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's not just the bits we like. Okay? So let's imagine that the epistles, okay, the letters in the New Testament, they're like roast chicken, and the Gospels are like steak, and the Psalms are like chips. Okay? Now, roast chicken, steak, and chips are all good, aren't they? We like those. But if you only live on steak and chips, you are not going to have a healthy life. And we sometimes are guilty of this, that we just read the bits of the Bible that we like, or the bits that we're familiar with. And some of the bits are harder to read than others, but you know what? There's just as much of the life of God in them. And we just as much need to eat those as we do all the dirty pages that you read all the time. And the Word of God says that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It also means when you read your Bible, you need to do what all of it says. Not just the bits that you like, not just the bits that you think, oh, yeah, well, I wanted to do that anyway, so it's nice to find that in the Bible. But the bits that are a challenge as well. The bits that you think, cool, that's hard work. It might be a bit like eating sprouts. Or broccoli. I love sprouts and I love broccoli. All the things that people don't usually like. For me, those bits would be like eating beetroot. Okay, beetroot is not good. Okay, I do not enjoy beetroot. And sometimes I'll read something in the Bible and I'll think, I know that's the Word of God, but I really don't want to do it. And the Holy Spirit says, but it's good for you. Okay, I don't think beetroot is good for you, actually, but all the Bible is. If beetroot does that to the... Have you seen what beetroot can do to a plate or to a table? What's it doing to your insides? But there are bits of the Bible that sometimes you might think, oh, that's hard. Or that's difficult. I don't want to do that. In fact, the Apostle Peter even said about the stuff that the Apostle Paul wrote, that some of it is difficult. But it's all the Word of God. And if we're going to be those who grow up to become just like Jesus, we can't be those who pick and choose. But we've got to read the Word of God. We've got to listen to the Word of God, and we've got to do what the Word of God says, because only then are we going to be getting all the food we need to become like Jesus. Now, the great thing about God, though, it's not just that we have a right to eat, and it's not just that we have a need to eat. Wouldn't it be terrible if you only ever ate what you needed? Yeah? Have you seen those little... In fact, we were in Go Outdoors yesterday, and we saw that you could buy in a foil pack all these different meals, and I'm sure they probably didn't taste too bad. But it reminded me of when the astronauts go into space, and all the nutrients they need are kind of whittled down into this kind of pack of mush. Okay? Now, you can live on that. You can live on a mixture of protein and vitamins and carbohydrate in some kind of a mush. But wouldn't it be terrible if that's all you ever ate? All you ever ate was just what you needed. Okay, it's much better to live where you get not just what you need, but also what you want. And God's food, chocolate, yes, there we go, thank you. God's food, God gives us not only what we need, but also what we desire. Oh, yes, thank you, God. Jesus said about this meal, At the end of Luke, he said, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus had a great desire to share this meal of bread and wine with the disciples. In Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, it says this about God. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Do you know, God gives even the animals the kind of food they desire, not just the stuff they need. Isn't that amazing how abundant God is, that it's not just what you need, but it's also what you desire. What do we desire? Psalm 73, verse 25 says this, Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire besides you. And here again is an equation. Here again is a way of comparing, coming to a feast and desiring God. Because the psalmist is saying in the Psalms, he says, My greatest desire is God. And just think for a minute. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Think about the things that you really desire in life. What do you desire? It may not be to do with food at all. It may be to do with a holiday, or it may be to do with finding a husband or a wife, or it may be a particular job that you want. There may be all kinds of desires. But we need to be able to say, just like the man who wrote the Psalms, that there is nothing I desire besides God. And it's not to say that desiring those things is bad, but they should, whatever there is something that stirs within us, that expresses a desire we have, it should remind us that our greatest desire is God, and that there's nothing that comes before Him. And when we come, we're going to eat, I trust, good bread. I know this is good bread because we bought two loaves and ate one of them last night. And I trust good wine. This wine was actually left at a party, so I trust my friends are good enough people to only bring good bottles of wine to my party, but... We're going to come and eat some good things, and the goodness of it is going to remind us that there is nothing that we should desire beyond God. And that as we take it and we eat it, it expresses our desire for God. There's one more scripture. Let's turn to this one. Psalm 36. So this is the last one we're going to. So Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible, kids. So you might want to just open it right in the middle. See if you can find Psalm 36. Psalm 36, yeah. And it says this, how precious... Oh, sorry, I haven't told you the verse yet. Psalm 36, verses 7 and 8. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink from your river of delights. What's it saying? It's saying that God makes for us a feast, an abundance of delights. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes when we have lots of people around for a meal, there is an abundance of food. But usually the abundance is in the stuff that's kind of fairly mundane and fairly ordinary. Sorry, Dave. It's often lots of extra sausages when we barbecue. Sorry, I know you don't think they're mundane and ordinary, but that's my barbecue trick, is to always have kind of an extra 80 or 100 frozen sausages in the freezer so we never run out of food, so there's always an abundance. But with God, there isn't just an abundance of food, but there's an abundance. The abundance is stuff that you want to feast on. Okay, it's on something amazing, and it's the river of delights. It's the best. And that's what God has for us. And when we come and we take the bread and we take the wine, we're expressing to God, God, I desire you more than anything else. I'm coming to the table because I know I have a right to receive the life of God. God likes people who are bold. God likes people who know that what He's done for them, He has done for them, and He wants them to enjoy it. I think, I don't know whether God gets frustrated, but I can imagine I would get very frustrated if forever there were Christians who kept coming and wondering whether God was going to bless them, wondering whether God was going to do something, wondering if he was going to answer their prayers, or wondering if He was going to meet their needs. He wants us to know we have a right to come to a table that provides all that we need. And that's the attitude he wants us to come and to know he's going to provide all our needs, but also he's going to meet our desires, especially because our desires are all wrapped up in who he is, and desiring God and desiring the things of God, desiring to live our life God's way, desiring to live our life in a way that makes him look good, in a way that represents Jesus in the world. And that's what we're going to come and take with the bread and the wine this morning. If you don't know Jesus this morning, this is just bread and it's just wine. For those of us that know Jesus, this is about receiving something of the life of God. But if you don't know him, and if you're just beginning to think that through some of the things that we've shared already this morning, some of the things we've spoken about, that knowing Jesus actually sounds like something you'd like to do, you can come to know him today. You can come and find a great and wonderful Savior and an amazing Father who will give you the best life imaginable. We're going to break the bread. We're going to have some people just come and hand the bread out. As we take the bread, I just want you to just have a time between you and God and just express your love to him. You can pray silently, you can pray under your breath, you can pray loudly if you like. You may find people turn around and look at you, but you carry on, that's fine. But just express, and in doing it, saying, Lord, I'm expressing the fact that my desire is for you beyond everything else. And I know that I'm coming, I'm receiving all that I need. I know that you provide for me, you protect me, you bless me, you watch over me. I'm coming because I'm a son of God, and I have a right to eat at my Father's table. I'm coming knowing that Jesus has paid the price for all that I could possibly need by dying on the cross. And he rose from the dead to guarantee that we could live this wonderful resurrection life.